Good day, and welcome to the 4SC conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Anna Niedl. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator, and welcome everyone to today's 4SC conference call on key developments in the first half of 2018 and our current business outlook. I'm Anna Niedl, IR officer at 4SC, and here with me is our CEO, Jason Loveridge, who will give you his review of the first half of the year later. Then we will open the call for questions, in which Chief Development Officer Frank Herrmann will also take part. I'm sure you've all seen our press release this morning already, and the presentation for this call is also available for download on our website. You can find it in the Investors and Media section under Investor Information and then Conference Calls and Webcasts. These slides will give some support for Jason's comments. Anyway, you should be able to follow the call even if you don't have them in front of you. Now the formal part. Before I hand over to Jason, I would like to give you all a brief reminder. During today's conference call, we may make projections or estimates regarding plans and objectives relating to our future operations, products, or future financial results, or any assumptions underlying or relating to any such statements, each of which constitutes a forward-looking statement subject to risk and uncertainties, many of which are beyond our control. Actual results could differ materially depending on a number of factors. With those formalities out of the way, I'll now hand over to Jason.
Thank you, Anna, and welcome to our 2018 first half call. I will refer to the slide presentation. As Anna said, it's available on the website. Starting on slide three, this provides simply an overview of 4SC as of the 30th of June 2018. We will refer to updating programs for resminostat and domatinostat, which was formerly known as 4SC202. The headcount at the end of the half was 45 persons. The presentation will be brief. A summary of the topics is on slide four. We'll start with a very short financial overview, comment on share price evolution through the first half, an update on the two key clinical programs, and then finishing with a summary of milestones which we expect in the second half of 2018. Moving on to slide five, financial review and outlook. 4SC has a good cash position at the end of the first half, 2018, with just over 34 million euro at the bank. The average monthly operational cash use during the first half was lower than forecast at 1.2 million euros per month. We expect the average over the year to be 1.8 to 2 million euro per month as originally forecast. And on this basis, we expect the company to have sufficient cash for it to exercise its current programs into early 2020. Finally, just to comment on the analyst coverage that the company currently received, we added Stifel Stifel added us to their coverage in the first half of 2018, in addition to coverage by Edison and by Gertz Partners and LifeSci Advisors. Moving on to slide six, we see on slide six a summary of the share price performance for the first half of 2018. Clearly, we had good performance during the first quarter and poor performance during the second quarter, despite, I think, quite good news flow and meeting all of the milestones as defined at the beginning of 2018. So in particular, I would like to highlight the safety data review, which we published in the first quarter on the ResMain study. This was on the first 50 patients. And then following that, We added Yakult, our partner for Japan, for resminostat to the ResMain study, and they started in the first quarter of 2018. In addition, Yakult started on time their biliary tract carcinoma study at the beginning of Q2 2018. With respect to domatinostat, our second program, we published the preclinical combination data at AACR in the second quarter, and most importantly, published the safety data on the first cohort for Sensitize at the end of June 2018. Moving to slide 7, just to comment on the performance of the share price in the second quarter of 2018, especially in light of the very strong performance in the first quarter. We see in the second quarter strong correlation to a competing company with a competing class 1 selective HDAC, a U.S. company called Syndax. And here we believe that despite 4SC reporting very positive news in the second quarter of 18, this is currently being overlooked by investors in favor of a little bit of pessimism over the potential for all class 1 selective HDACs. I think we'd like to really bring people's attention to the fact that not all class 1 selective HDAC inhibitors are alike, and that we believe domatinostat has the potential to be a best-in-class inhibitor with class-leading safety and dosing flexibility, no dose-limiting toxicities. We believe domatinostat has much more capacity for efficacious dosing in cancer patients, particularly in combination with other immunotherapies because of the lack of impact on other key immune cell populations. We strongly believe that data from Sensitize and Emerge, the first of which we expect to receive in the second half of 2018, will help to differentiate the different class 1 selectives and to underline the potential for domatinostat as a class-leading drug. Moving on to slide 8, just to update people on the progress of our different programs for domatinostat. The Sensitize study in refractory non-responding PD-1 advanced melanoma patients was initiated at the end of 2018. The safety data from the first cohort was published in the second quarter of 2018, indicating a very good tolerance and safety profile for the drug at the lowest dose. The second dose, patients enrolled into the second dose cohort initiated in Q3, and we expect that to complete in the second half of 18, and we expect to publish efficacy data from the first cohort in the second half of 18 and data from the second cohort around the end of 2018, possibly the beginning of 2019. The third cohort would be recruited in the first half of 2019 with data in the second quarter 2019. The second study that we are pursuing with domatinostat is called Emerge in the microsatellite stable GI cancer population. We expect this study to enroll the first patient in Q3 of 2018 and to see initial safety data in early 19 and hopefully efficacy data around the second quarter of 2019. On the bottom of slide 8, we've indicated a number of potential programs that we are expecting to pursue with domatinostat. The first is in Merkel cell carcinoma, and here we will require data from the Emerge study in order to progress this particular study. There are a number of other studies which we've highlighted in this slide which are currently under discussion and which we would expect to update investors on towards the end of 2018. Moving now to slide 9 for an update on resminostat. As you know, resminostat is in a pivotal study for cutaneous T-cell lymphoma. We reported safety data on the first 50 patients in the first half of 2018, and the study remains on track from a recruitment point of view to reach or to exceed 100 patients before the end of 2018. As you know, as I mentioned earlier, Yakult Onsha opted in to participate in the ResMain study, and they have opened a number of centers in Japan and have recruited 4 patients in Japan into the ResMain study year to date. In addition, Yakult Honsha is pursuing the biliary tract carcinoma indication in Japan, and recruitment remains on track for this particular study. Finally, coming to slide 10 of the presentation, the slide summarizes the milestones that we laid out earlier in the year for 2018 and highlights those that we expect to complete in the second half of 2018. For resminostat, we expect to recruit the first 100 patients into the ResMain pivotal study and report safety data on this particular patient group. For domatinostat, we will publish interim data from the sensitized study, as indicated earlier, in the second half of 2018. We will also publish, in collaboration with a partner, comparative HDAC inhibitor data in combination in preclinical models in the fourth quarter 2018. We also expect to publish through an academic collaborator the Merkel cell carcinoma preclinical data. We expect to initiate the first patient into the MERGE study in Q3 2018. And as I said earlier, we are currently evaluating a number of additional clinical studies to ResMain sensitize, emerge, and Merkel cell. With that, I conclude the presentation and pass the call back to the operator for any questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll now take our first question from James Mainwaring from Stifel. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thank you very much for taking the questions. Three quick ones, if I may. The first one is just on the phasing of R&D costs. Obviously, we've had a lot of clinical trial ramp up in the first half. So just your sort of take on where that cost goes in H2, obviously with the start of Emerge coming through, and then any thoughts on whether it sort of steps down at the beginning of 2019, what sort of levels there would be really useful. The second one, it seems like MCC have been so the start of that pivotal trial looks like it's been pushed back a little bit. And I know, Jason, you just mentioned that you have to wait for the interim data for that. And I was just wondering, or just sort of wanted to confirm that that is the only reason that's been pushed back a bit. And then the last one is sort of what type of partnering licensing deals are you looking to complete this year? Thanks.
Thanks. For those questions, so to try and take them in order. For the phasing of the R&D costs, we expect these to be unchanged with respect to the forecast. The delay to the start of the Emerge study does not really impact the R&D costs in particular, because this is an investigator-sponsored study where our costs are limited to the supply of domatinostat for this study. We'll also pay for biomarker program and obviously some contribution to clinical costs, but these don't have a significant impact on our R&D spend for 2018. With respect to Merkel cell carcinoma, I think we're currently reviewing the protocol that we expect to adopt in the Merkel cell carcinoma study. So I think it's likely that we will start an earlier study, which will include a number of Merkel cell patients as a run-in into the pivotal cell study, So the exact start time we'll update later in the year. With respect to partnering and licensing, I think from our point of view in 2018, this is predominantly focused on non-core assets and not on resminostat or domatinostat.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
We'll go over our next question from Chris Redhead from Gulf Partners.
Hi, Jason. Just a kind of quick clarification on the Syndax studies. Clearly, entinostat, you know, the share price come down, and it's largely because the, as I see it anyway, and see if you agree, the studies did show a positive signal. It was just much more disappointing than people had anticipated. So what that suggests is that the HDAC does work. It's just that, you know, with a more optimal dose, you believe, with domatinostat, you will get a much larger response. That is that an appropriate way to interpret it?
Yes, I think that's right. I mean, I think if you look at the dosing for entinostat in their 601 studies, this is at a level of 5 milligrams per week. Our lowest dose in our sensitized study is at 100 milligrams per day. So the dosing that we're using with domatinostat is substantially higher. So yes, we would argue that there's still substantial potential for this class of drugs, and that I think a true test of this class awaits data from the sensitize and emerge study.
Okay. Good. Thanks, Jason.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll now take our next question from Alice Nettleton from Edison.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I just wanted to ask a question about the recently approved drug mogamulizumab, posanligio, for CTCL. It's just been approved by the FDA and for the same indications in CTCL as resminostat. And it also looks like it will be launched in Europe later this year and is also marketed in Japan. So I wondered if you had a chance to look at the data on that drug and the positioning and how that might affect resminostat if it's marketed. Thank you.
Thanks, Alice. I think, you know, this is good news for patients that the drug is approved and provides another therapeutic option for patients with progressive disease in CTCL. Clearly, we believe none of the current therapeutic options provide very good efficacy in this population, and therefore this is another option for clinicians and patients. I think with respect to resminostat in CTCL, we're very clearly differentiated from this particular drug because mogamulizumab is approved only in progressing patients and not in the maintenance indication. So once a patient has been stabilized on this drug, it would also be applicable for resminostat treatment. I think there are a couple of interesting points that come out from this particular study which we should make note of. The first is that the FDA has clearly accepted progression-free survival as an approvable endpoint for this particular drug in CTCL. So I think this bodes very well for resminostat, which adopts the same endpoint in this population. Secondly, when you look at the data that they have gained approval on, they compared to vorinostat, another broad-spectrum HDAC inhibitor, and received just about 4.5 months benefit. So again, a kind of doubled, roughly doubled PFS, which is again the same, let's say, benefit that we're looking for with resminostat. But importantly, resminostat is being positioned differently. So, and this is, I think, underlines the reason why we have chosen to position resminostat as we have in maintenance, because here we see that vorinostat is only able to provide 3.1 months benefit in progressive patients. And this is predominantly because HDAC inhibitors are not good in monotherapy at addressing the tumor burden. So they don't reduce the tumor burden significantly. And this is why they shouldn't be used in this patient population. And it's why we have positioned resminostat in patients that have been stabilized on any other previous form of therapy. So I think this is good for patients. It's not competitive with resminostat, but gives us a lot of confidence in the comparator arm that we'll hope to see in the ResMain study, as vorinostat in this population only provides around 3 months benefit.
Okay, thank you very much. That's clear now. And then regarding dormatinostat, with the additional combination studies, just to confirm, I think you said earlier that only the current clinical programs are covered with the current budget. So those additional combination studies, they would require extra funding. Is that correct?
So we have funding to start some of the studies that we've indicated on slide, just one second, on slide 8. So we will certainly start the skin cancer checkpoint combination, which would be a run-in to the pivotal study for Merkel cell carcinoma. So some of these studies have certainly, we have funds available to initiate them, but the company only has available capital into early 2020.
Okay, thank you. And then my final question is about the types of combinations that the companies you say you're working with are testing the drug in. Are they only checkpoint inhibitors, or are there other compounds which are being evaluated with this drug as well? Thank you.
So we are collaborating with other companies which are looking at triple combinations, and we in fact published some triple combination data at AACR earlier this year, which was the combination of a PD-1 inhibitor, a LAG-3 antibody, and domatinostat. We expect further triple combination data to be published in the fourth quarter of this year, probably at SITS, but still to be defined. And I think we are interested and actively looking at other combinations as well, both in double and in triple.
Okay, thank you. That's all from me.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. There are no more questions in the telephone queue at this time.
Okay, if there's no more questions, then I think we'll draw the call to a close. I'd like to thank everybody for participating in the call. and for their continued interest in the company, and we look forward to updating you again in the second half of 2018.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I think we're finished.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.